The upcoming two-year state budget is now in the hands of the full legislature. The Republican-controlled Joint Finance Committee finished its work last week. It approved a $3.4 billion tax cut made up of income and property tax deductions. Democrats aren't too keen on the idea, insisting that the money would be better spent on schools, broadband, and other things. Republicans also approved a plan to increase state support for public schools, along with a 2% raise for state workers. After the Assembly and the Senate get done with the budget, it goes to Governor Tony Evers. What questions do you have about what's happening? Give us a call at 800-642-1234. Right now, we've got Sean Johnson, who is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief. Hey, Sean.
Hey, Keely.
Overall, this budget plan passed by the Joint Finance Committee, it's big, and it doesn't look a whole lot like what Governor Tony Evers came out with a few months ago, right?
I think that is very safe to say, yeah. I mean, pretty much the first vote that the legislature's budget committee took removed more than 380 of Governor Tony Evers' proposals from the budget, and also basically set the framework for how they were going to proceed, which is they were going to build their budget based off of what was signed 2 years ago rather than what Governor Tony Evers introduced earlier this year. Kind of just followed from there and on to their last day of votes, which left you with a budget that was a lot different than what the governor wanted.
This proposed tax cut is grabbing some headlines. The money for this comes from projected tax revenues that are better than we anticipated, announced earlier this month. What's the breakdown of what Republicans want to do here?
They want to cut a variety of taxes. The biggest tax cut in terms of dollars would be an income tax cut. And this is using these revenue projections that came out from the Legislative Fiscal Bureau showing that because economic activity has really surged since the last time we had revenue estimates, the state's got about $4.4 billion more than expected over the next couple of years. And so this GOP tax cut has an income tax cut for people who earn between about $24,000 and $263,000, or families that earn between $32,000 and $350,000. So really broad range there. And it would lower the taxes in that bracket from 6.27% to 5.3%. That coupled with some other targeted income tax cuts, and you're looking at about $2.7 billion there. They also want to lower property taxes, and they want to phase out the personal property tax on equipment that businesses own. So all that together is around $3.4 billion.
And what are Democrats' hangups with this plan?
If you look at the way that it is structured, because they're going at this one income bracket, which includes people who don't make a lot to, people who make a few hundred thousand dollars, they're saying that it's going to be bringing a lot of income tax relief to people who make a lot of money. And, the Fiscal Bureau's breakdown of how this applies to different incomes kind of bears that out in terms of the dollars and where they're going. They also are unhappy with the way that Republicans are prioritizing this tax cut instead of increasing school funding. In fact, part of what they did on the last day of budget votes was they devoted more state money to the school funding formula. But because of the way the state school funding formula is structured, they didn't increase revenue limits. And because of that, it effectively just applies that money to a property tax cut rather than sending it to classrooms. So I think those are some of the major gripes that Democrats have with the plan and, why they didn't vote for it in the budget committee and have given no indications that they plan to vote for it when it's up in the legislature.
And it does go to the full legislature before moving to Governor Evers' desk. Do you anticipate that there will be major changes on the floor?
In practice, Republicans have really treated the Joint Finance Committee as the place where they build their budget. It doesn't mean that they won't make some changes. I mean, sometimes you get a group of lawmakers together, like in the Senate, especially, you could get, you know, four or five Senate Republicans who decide they want to kind of lay down the law here and make a change to the budget. They can group together and refuse to pass it unless they get what they want. Stuff like that happens. But by and large, I think what you see is what you're going to get when it comes out of the full legislature, unless the governor sits down and negotiates something different with legislative leaders, but they have not gotten along so well.
Sean, we'll leave it there. Thanks for joining us today.
You're welcome.
Sean Johnson is Wisconsin Public Radio's State Capitol Bureau Chief with that quick recap of the budget plan that has passed through the Joint Finance Committee. And now for some insight on what that powerful committee budget would do and how it might change before the process is over, we go to Anthony Chergovsky. He's an assistant professor of political science at UW La Crosse. Anthony, good to have you with us.
Hi, Keeley. Thank you so much for having me.
Let's pick up as we left off with Sean. What are your thoughts on where the budget stands at this moment?
Certainly the eye-popping aspect of it is the $3.4 billion proposed in tax cuts over the next 2 years. As Sean noted, most of that is targeted toward state income tax reduction, that big tax bracket that covers so many Wisconsinites. But what is also notable here is the politics of education. And the one-time influx in education spending that is coming from the federal government via the COVID-19 relief legislation. Now, Republicans, as Sean mentioned, have essentially kept education spending flat, noting that this huge influx of education spending is coming from the federal government, so there's really no need, from their point of view, to increase education funding. Democrats say that's the wrong way to look at this, that this is one-time spending, this is one-time money coming in from the federal government, and that the state needs to pick up more of the tab when it comes to education funding.
And we should also note that the Republican proposal, the money that it gives schools over the next 2 years, is a fraction of the $1.6 billion that Governor Tony Evers proposed. So that's another example that we can see where the governor and Republican lawmakers are just in different places. This is certainly not the first time Republicans have proposed cutting taxes. How do you weigh the significance of this particular plan?
I think that this is going to be complicated politics for Tony Evers. We have to remember the timeline here, in that Tony Evers is entering his reelection campaign, facing the voters in November of 2022. I think the Republicans understand that it will be difficult for Tony Evers, who will be soon facing the voters, it will be difficult for him to turn down a tax cut of this magnitude. Certainly, this isn't the kind of tax cut that Tony Evers would have designed if he could do it on his own. Like Sean said, the Democrats are complaining about how this tax cut really does benefit the higher earners. Most of the benefits would go towards those who make over $100,000 a year. But you also have to consider the politics and the election politics of this. And that's why I ultimately expect Tony Evers to sign this budget into law, of course, making significant use of his very powerful partial line item veto power.
Sure. So he can make adjustments within the budget without actually throwing out the entire budget, although that is also on the table for him.
That is also on the table for him. I do think the likely outcome here is that both the state assembly and the state senate will pass the budget early next week, like Sean said, probably with minimal modifications. And then it'll go to Governor Evers. I expect that Governor Evers will make significant use of the line item veto, ultimately concluding this budget process. And then already we gear up for election 2022.
Still on the tax cut idea, Republicans and Democrats really have different ideas on what to do with the extra money that's supposed to come in because of those bigger tax revenues. Republicans want to cut the taxes, and Democrats are saying we should invest that money in other things. Explain the philosophical differences here.
Sure. It's worth noting that this news about the stronger than expected tax revenues completely changed the politics of this budget process. This news that there was this surge in tax revenues resulting in the state expected to take in $4.4 billion over the next 3 years, that completely upended the politics of this budget process. And Keeley, to your point, it really highlighted the differences between the two parties in terms of their issue priorities and in terms of how they view the role of government. Certainly, it did not take long for Republican leaders to start calling for tax reductions after the news of the stronger than expected tax revenues came out. Meanwhile, you had the Democrats talking about more funding for the UW system, more funding for technical schools, more funding for K-12. It really highlights the significant gap between the two parties, both in what issues they prioritize, kind of what their first instincts were when the news of the strong revenue forecast came out, and also just their difference in how they view the role of government as well.
The Wisconsin Legislature's Joint Finance Committee finished its budget work last week after Republicans on the panel approved a $3.4 billion tax cut. Democrats say that money would be better spent going to K-12 education or other things. Next up, the State Assembly and the State Senate will vote on the budget. Then it goes to Governor Evers. Right now, we're talking about it on Central Time. I'm Keeley Boltina. Anthony Chergosky is our guest. He's an assistant professor of political science at UW La Crosse, and we're taking your calls at 800-642-1234. We've got Daniel in Milwaukee on the line. Hey, Daniel.
Hey, thank you so much for having me on. I mean, I'm really excited about, you know, the fact that we have this federal funding available for K-12. I'm pleased at the direction the legislature is going with it. I think that the danger of taking money from these trillions of dollars of stimulus and pumping them into our schools is that, you know, in the next budget cycle, Wisconsinites are going to have to backfill that themselves. Because these government spending programs continuously expand. So in 2 years, we could see how our economic recovery is, and I'd love to put more money into K-12 schools, but we're already going to be paying for this for decades. We might as well use this federal money for our schools right now.
Daniel, thank you so much for weighing in on this. And Anthony, Daniel is bringing up that concept of one-time dollars from the federal government and how Wisconsin schools cope with that if it's part of the calculation for the next 2 years.
Right. And to Daniel's point, the Democrats really do see this as a missed opportunity because you have, as we've talked about, that surge in tax revenues, what the Legislative Fiscal Bureau has called an unprecedented increase in tax collections. And the Democrats really see that as an opportunity to make kind of like once in a generation style investments in these programs like K-12 and tech schools, the UW system. And, you know, Daniel makes a good point. What happens 2 years down the road when these federal funds are no more? This is not a sustainable form of spending by any stretch. What happens after the federal spending is gone? What will the state's approach be to funding education if it is, as it seems it will, be leaning so heavily for the next 2 years on these one-time federal dollars?
Yeah. To those ongoing expenses or maybe one-time expenses. I guess it depends on how the schools spend that money. We've got Tina in Kenosha who also wants to join in on this conversation. Tina, welcome to the Ideas Network.
Thank you. Yes, I believe that in the first part of the conversation, you said that the budget was said that they would also increase their wages. I'm not sure if that's true or not, if I heard that correctly. However, what we need to do with that money that we are getting, we need to invest. We need to invest in the future, just like the President of the United States is trying to do right now. Because if we don't, I don't know about anybody else, but I drive on the Wisconsin roads, and they are horrific. So, I'm not sure that if they do indeed want to increase their wages, that tax cutting, wage increases, is this just a Republican thing or am I crazy? Thanks a lot.
Tina, thanks for bringing this up and, you know, mentioning infrastructure and also wondering about the give and take. They are proposing an increase in state employee salary raises that was approved within the plan. And we can talk about the Wisconsin university system ahead, too. But what about this idea that it's a good time to invest? Anthony, do you see that in the budget from Republicans?
You know, Keeley, this does really seem to be a budget that leans more on tax cutting as opposed to investing. The headline here, the eye-popping figure that we've been talking about, that $3.4 billion in tax cuts over 2 years, that is what the Republicans want to really tout. That is what Republicans want to sell coming out of this budget process, sell as their major accomplishment. So I think that the Republicans are going to come out of this really looking at their changes to the tax system as a big win for them, both in how they are lowering one of the state's income tax brackets from 6.27% down to 5.3%, and how they are providing schools and tech colleges with more state funding, but that is to be offset by reductions in the property tax, ultimately leaving funding steady with no increase for K-12 or the tech schools.
Well, and Tina mentioned things like investing in roads, right? But is one of the Republican arguments that when you return tax dollars to the people who paid them in, then they will spend them, and that's a different kind of investment?
I think so, Keeley. And you are seeing how the politics at the federal level are affecting politics at the Wisconsin state level. The COVID relief package that devoted so much money to schools has had a profound effect on this budget process in terms of the debates and the deliberations surrounding school funding. And I also think that some uncertainty about the infrastructure package currently being debated in Congress is also affecting this process. This process is going to conclude before we know really what happens at the federal level when it comes to the infrastructure package. So I think that one might say the legislature is holding its fire a bit on infrastructure with the assumption that the federal government might be coming in to take action of its own in that area.
We're talking with Anthony Chergosky, who's an assistant professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. And we're talking about the budget as it is approved by GOP lawmakers now that it moves to the full state legislature and then eventually moves to the governor's desk. You're listening to the Ideas Network, and this is Central Time. The University of Wisconsin system we mentioned, it would get a bump of $8.25 million under this Republican budget. That's compared to $192 million that Evers proposed. The 8-year UW tuition freeze would also come to an end under the GOP plan. What do you expect to happen with the UW system piece in this final budget?
Yeah, Keeley, I think that it was a bit of a surprise to me to see the tuition freeze come to an end, because Republicans have long touted the tuition freeze as being a signature accomplishment or one of the key accomplishments of the Scott Walker era. So I was a bit surprised to see the Joint Finance Committee discard that. When it comes to funding the UW system, I think this reveals the incredible gap between Governor Evers, what he proposed for education spending, and what the Republicans on the Joint Finance Committee are offering. There is a massive gap in the proposals, both at the K-12 level, at the tech schools level, and at the UW system level when it comes to education funding. No shock, given the icy, to put it mildly, the icy relationship between Governor Evers and legislative Republicans, that there would be such an enormous gap between the two sides.
As you see the budget work through the process we've got, what are you watching?
I'm watching how Tony Evers looks at the end game here, because he's going to have to sell this budget, assuming he signs it into law and assuming that he makes significant use of the line item veto. I expect him to do both. I expect him to sign this budget, and I expect him to make substantial use of the very powerful line item veto that Wisconsin governors are given. And then it becomes a task of selling this to the public as he goes into his 2022 reelection campaign. Not the budget that he would have designed. We know that because this is not at all the budget that he presented at the beginning of this process, but he'll sign it into law, presumably. He'll make some line item vetoes, and then he'll have to sell it as an achievement going into his reelection contest.
Thanks for bringing the politics back home for us, Anthony. We appreciate your time today.
Thank you so much.
Anthony Chergosky is an assistant professor of political science at UW-La Crosse. We talked with him about the state budget and what to expect as the full legislature prepares to take it up. Earlier, we heard from WPR State Capitol Bureau Chief Sean Johnson. And one quick note, Republicans on the budget committee also voted to approve a 2% raise for state workers on January 1st, 2022 and 2023. We mentioned that earlier. And we should note that Wisconsin Public Radio is a service of the University of Wisconsin-Madison.